These parshios, as we know, when we talk about Avraham Avinu, go through many of the nisyonos. And it's hard to really figure out exactly what are the asara nisyonos, how exactly do we calculate them. The Rishonim try to give a list of what they believe are the 10 different nisyonos. And I think that something that comes out from all of these parshios is a very important point that maybe is difficult to speak about and is something that we don't like to touch upon. But unfortunately in life, we are confronted with it. And that is the reality of tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo. Sometimes you have a situation where somebody who seems to be doing everything right, somebody who seems to be making all the right decisions, who's living a very honorable and upstanding life, yet is given a lot by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that doesn't seem to fit. That doesn't seem to fit the lifestyle that they are living. And when you look at the life of Avraham Avinu, you certainly get that sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing him over and over and over again. And I just thought it was an opportunity for us to talk about something that you may not have ever looked into, but unfortunately, as your experience of life continues to develop, you will inevitably be confronted by it. We have a major discussion in the Bali Machshava. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? The Ramchal talks about it, and many other Bali Machshava try to figure out what was the reason. We have a magnificent world. It's very complicated. It's very complex. It's sophisticated. But why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create this world? And the Mesilas Yesharim writes in the Ramchal, in the very first chapter of the Mesilas Yesharim, he says the reason why is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be meitiv im haruit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bestow his kindness, to bring mercy and positivity into the world. And therefore, he needed to create man in order to be able to give over that abounding love that he has, that never-ending kindness, that never-ending will to do good for others, and therefore he had to create man in order to be the recipients of that love. I said last week, I think, in a different context, I don't remember where I said what anymore, but I do remember that my father quotes in the name of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik that he once saw a major discussion as to why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he said all of that is kfira. In his opinion, he believes you can't say there's a reason why he created it. He did it because he wanted to do it. Period. End of story. There doesn't have to be any external reason given why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create the world. He created the world because he wanted to create the world, and there's nothing else that needs to be said. Okay, that's a detail, but if you go with this kind of understanding of the Ramchal, which is the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is because he wanted to be meitiv im habruim. He wanted to bring positive to people who are here. You then have to ask yourself, why is it that so many people have negative things going on in their lives? If all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do is bring goodness into our lives, why is it that there's so much negative? Why is there so much challenge and obstacle? And the answer that the Ramchal gives is, the upshot of that is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is evil. The upshot is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to suffer. But rather, he says, the upshot is that when a person gets something that they didn't work hard for, it is far less enjoyable than something that they worked to earn. We just had a conference last week with Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky, as I mentioned. And one of the things he mentioned in the context of one of the discussions was, it used to be that a child told his parents he wants a bike. What did he have to do to buy a bike? It's not like the parents had $500 lying around to buy the bike. So what did he do? He worked, and every time he came home from school early, he would go wash somebody's windows and vacuum out somebody's car, and he would go before... You know, he would try to find situations of how he can gain a few dollars and save it up and work hard toward that goal. And then he would put it aside. And finally, after months and months or years and years, he would be able to buy his bike. And how much did he enjoy that bike? But what happens today? A kid wants a bike, goes to his parents, Amazon Prime, bam, the parents get the bike. The next day it's there. Who enjoys the bike more? It's undeniable that the one who's going to enjoy the bike more is the one who worked harder to have that gift in their life. And therefore the Ramchal says, obviously it's not the same, but he says that that's basically why the world is filled with nisyonos. Why do we have challenges? We have challenges and obstacles because in the journey of life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to feel a sense of a gratification, of understanding that, yes, I'm strong, and yes, I overcame, and yes, this was worth fighting for, and yes, I'm now in a better place than I was before. But all of that is part of the gratifying experience of what life can be. Now, the Michtav Meliyo writes that that challenge is going to continue to change throughout life. As we go through different stages of our lives, the Nekudas HaBachira shifts as well. So he explains it, and basically he says as follows. Imagine you have a person who's just becoming religious, and they're really not familiar with the religious practices at all. So when they start observing Shabbos for them, it's impossible. They've never observed Shabbos before. Now all of this is new to them. It's a very, very difficult thing to take upon themselves. That is their Nekudas HaBachira. Every week when Shabbos comes, they have to have a conscious decision that is made in their minds that, yes, I want to observe Shabbos, and although it's very hard, I'm going to do it anyway. That is their Nekudas HaBachira. 5 years go by, 10 years go by. At that point in their experience of life, they're in a very different place. And Shabbos already comes naturally to them. And at that point, maybe they have a different point of challenge or a different point of conflict that they are conflicted with. And that is something that continues to shuffle and continues to shift as life moves on. But we are always given different kinds of challenges. In fact, Chazal say in the Medrash Rabbah, "Ein bria she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu menase osa." There is no one in the world that is going to go through life without having certain kinds of challenges. Ha'ashir menase im tehei yado psucha la'aniyim. Someone who is wealthy, who is generous, who is kind-hearted and charitable, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't think it's easy for that person. It's not so easy to give away one's charity properly. It doesn't go naturally. It's something that is complicated. It's hard. And similarly, Menase Ha'ani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu test the Ani, Im Yachol Lekabel Yisurim Ve'eno Koes. Are you going to be resentful of the Ribono Shel Olam throughout your life because of the kind of life that you're living? So, Nisyonos and Yisurim are something that we find very, very often in people's lives. And there are varying degrees. And it comes to all kinds of different people in many different formulations. But we daven every day, Al tivienu lo lidei nisayon. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't put a nisayon in my way. Actually, this summer, when I was in Camp Simcha, so I was talking to the oldest division one Shabbos afternoon. And after I was finished, two girls, Hasidisha girls, 17 years old, came over to me and they said that they became very close to each other. They're both 2 years in remission, and they're very healthy and they're feeling well. But they said that they became very close throughout the experience of camp. And the two of them are speaking very openly to each other. And they were surprised that they both shared something with the other that they've never shared with their closest family members. Something that they've never spoken about publicly. Were you in camp this summer? I'm imagining. No?
No, I'm not exactly.
You are what?
I'm not exactly.
I told it here in this class already? Sorry. I gotta get new material. All right, we'll find out.
Possibly not.
It's okay. No. So, anybody here was in camp with me this summer? You were?
I was in camp.
You were there? When I was there?
I was in the division.
Ah, okay. So maybe you were there when this happened.
Yeah,
so,
So
basically, these two girls came over, and they said that ever since they were in remission and they finish their treatments, they both offer the same tefillah every day. They daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they should get sick again. And I said, why would you daven for such a thing? And they said, the closeness that we felt during the time that we were going through chemo, the connection that we felt to spirituality in general and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in particular, is something that we haven't felt since we got better. And we'll do everything to go back to that place. It's an amazing sentiment. It's the worst thing in the world to daven for. But it's an amazing sentiment. And what I told them was, we daven al tivienu lidei nisayon. There's a reason. It's not a given that if one is given a nisayon again, that they're going to pass the same way they did the last time. You should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in some way in your life, you should be able to feel His presence without being sick. That's the tefillah you should offer. But many different people have different nisyonos, and it's hard sometimes to swallow. It's hard to see it, and it's hard to understand it. I think one of the most famous personalities in all of Tanakh, when we think about nisyonos, when we think about challenges, is Iyov. And the story is amazing. So, by way of introduction, I want to go through some of the story of Iyov just to get into it a little bit so that we have an understanding. But by way of introduction, let's just look at the words of the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim. When we talk about Iyov in general, the Rambam tells us, Iyov la hayov lo nivra. The Rambam is of the opinion that the whole story is imaginary. It's a fictional story. Mashal haya. It's a metaphor. It's metaphorical. It's a parable. There were those who thought, says the Rambam, that Eov actually existed. Lo yadulo, even those who claim that he existed don't really know anything about him. Lo zman velo makom, they don't know when he lived, what was going on, what was the historical context. They don't know where he lived. Tzas chachamim amru shayiv meha avos. Some say that he lived in the days of the Avos. Some say that he lived in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Some say he lived in the days of David. Some say he was one of the Olei Bavel after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Ritzoni Lomar, says the Rama, my point in all of this is, Hayos ha'ish ha'tam ha'shalem ha'yashar b'maisev ha'yari ma'od men ha'chatayim. When you had a person who was so perfect, who was living such a good life, so connected, Yachulu bo roz gedolos utkufos, does it make sense that that person has so much hardship and tragedy that befalls them? B'mamono ubanav v'gufo lelo chet. Yechayev ha'inyan ahu, is that possible? Says the Rambam. And that really is the bottom line of all of Sefer Iyov. Kol zem mashal b'lo safek l'chol bal das, says the Rambam, all of this is just a parable. Asher shehu mashal l'lo kishar mishalam kulam, aval mashal shenitlu bo plios. This is a mystifying mashal. Usually when you tell a mashal, it's supposed to be a nimshal. It's supposed to be a takeaway message. Says the Rambam, when you read Sefer Iyov, you walk away more confused than when you started, because you don't understand, what is the takeaway message? What do I do with this? Idvarim she'em kivshono shel olam, v'yisbaru bo sveikos gedolos, v'nignu v'menu ta'alumo she'en l'mala mehem, v'ani ezgo l'cham asher efsko l'zalfar. So the Rambam says, I'm going to give you whatever insight I have, but I don't really know what to say, because the story of Iyov is so beyond comprehension. But we do know that Iyov is part of the Sifrei HaTanakh. So it's there for us to learn. And if you walk away from the story of Iyov, or for that matter, from anyone who's suffering or struggling, and you have some kind of confusion, and you're not sure exactly what to do with it, you're in good company. Because the Rambam also is not sure what to do with it. So let's see what exactly the story of Iyov was. Let's learn through just a part of it. I took out some of the most important parts. Let's read about his life. Iyov, we're told, was Ishtam v'yari Elokim. Iyov was, as the Pasuk describes him, a perfect, sublime, pure human being. He had a beautiful family. He was very successful in business. He had everything going for him in life. And as you go through the story, you see that he has one challenge after the other, and his pain becomes compounded over time. And it's almost hard to accept what's going on. So let's read it together. Ishaya be'eretz Utz, Iyov Shemo. It was a man in the name of Utz, and his name was Iyov, v'haya ha'ish ha'hu. And this person, Iyov, was a tam v'yashar v'yirei Elokim v'sar meira. He was perfect. He was the consummate Jew. Moral, righteous, upright personality. V'yivoldu lo shiva banim v'shalosh banos. So he had 10 children. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Not only did he have a beautiful family, not only did he have an amazing track record in his shmiras ha-mitzvahs, but he also was extremely wealthy. Vayihi mikneyu shivas alfei tzon u'shloshes alfei gemalim v'chamesh meos tzemed bakar v'chamesh meos asonos v'avuda rabba miyod vayihi ha'ishahu gadol mikol b'nei kedem. Iyov was more outstanding than anyone who ever came before him. And his children were living it up. His children were having a great life. And they used to switch off. They used to alternate houses where they would have a party. And every time they would get together, they would all gather, all 10 kids, and they would enjoy each other's company. And of course, the 7 boys used to call their 3 sisters, and they used to all get together and have a big family gathering. Vayihi, and it was ki kifu yimei mishta, and it was whenever they would have this party, vayishlach Iyov vayikatshen. Iyov would make sure that everything was staying within the right kind of mindset, and nobody was getting carried away by the party. V'hishkim aboker v'hele olos mispar kulam. And the next morning, Iyov was concerned, maybe my children acted slightly inappropriately the night before when they had this big lavish party, so you know what? He used to go the next morning and he would bring a karban. And he would say, in case anyone might have done anything or thought anything or said anything off, I'm going to make sure that I bring a karban to atone for what they may have done. Ki amar Iyov, because Iyov said, Ulai chatu banai uberchu elokim belevavam. Maybe at some point my children may have said something wrong. Kacha yasa Iyov kalayamim, and this is what Iyov did throughout his entire life. Vayhi ayom, and it was one day. Vayavo bnei ha'elokim l'siyatzev al Hashem. Vayavo gam ha'satan b'socha. I don't know how to explain this, but basically the description that's given is there was like a conference in heaven, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets together all of the malachim, and he's giving everybody their jobs, and they're having a whole conversation. So what's on the docket today? What are we going to do? So the Satan happens to be there also, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell him what to do as well. So they're all sitting around and having this conversation. Vayomer Hashem al HaSatan. Hashem notices, HaKadosh Baruch Hu notices that the Satan is there in this gathering, and he says to him, Me'ayin Tavo, where are you coming from? Vayana Satan al Hashem, Vayomer, and he says, Mishut ba'aretz mishalechba. I'm actually just coming back from seeing what's going on down there in the world. I have to see who my next customer is going to be. Vayomer Hashem al HaSatan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the Satan and he says, Hasamta libcha al abdi Iyov. So you're telling me that you went around and you're traveling the world and you've seen everybody. Have you met the person who I love so much, whose name is Iyov? And this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking. Ki ein kamohu be'eretz ish tam v'yashor yirei Elokim v'sar me'ra. There is no one in the world like him. By the Ribbono Shel Olam's own admission, there is no one else in the world like him. Vayan hasatan as Hashem vayomar hachinam yarei Iyov Elokim. Of course, Iyov is an avid follower of Yu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After all, halo ata sachta ba'ado uva'ad beso uva'ad kala shalom misaviv ma'ase yada beracha u'mekrineu paratz ba'aretz. It's very easy to believe in God when everything's going perfectly in your life. So he's the wealthiest man. He has a beautiful family. They all have their own children. Everything's going really nicely for him. So he was never challenged. And he pleads with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, I'd like you to challenge Iyov. And let's see if he's able to withstand the challenge. Let's see what will happen. Vayomer Hashem el HaSatan, hinei kal asher lo biyadecha. Rak elav al tishlach yadecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, okay, I give you full and complete authority. You have total liberty to do whatever you want to him. Amazing. The only thing you're not allowed to do is kill him. Al tishlach yadecha. You can't kill him. You can't afflict him. But you can afflict everything and everyone around him. Vayetzei ha-satan me'im p'nei Hashem. And the satan leaves and he says, okay, I have some work to do. So what am I going to do? Vayhi ayom, and it was Avanu v'venosa v'ochlem v'shosim yayim v'beis achiyem ha-bechor. Does everybody know the story of Iyov? No. Yes? We all know it? We don't know it? I can skip the whole thing. What? A little. Okay. I think it's good to go through. Vayhi ayom, Avanu v'venosa v'ochlem v'shosim yayim v'beis achiyem ha-bechor. So they're all having this party. U'malach ba'al Iyov v'yomar. And a malach comes and he says, Malach over here means not an angel, it means a messenger comes and he says, Habakar hayucharshos va'asonos ro'os ha'yidehem. I have some horrible news to share with you, you're not going to believe it. All of your cattle was grazing outside in the fields. Vatipol sheva vatikachem, and attackers came and ambushed them and they stole all of your property. Vasana arim hikul fi charev v'imalta rakani levadi lahagidlach. I'm sorry to tell you, I'm the only shepherd who survived the attack. And I ran for my life, and I came back here to tell you what had happened. Od Zemedaber, while he's giving over the information, and Iyov is traumatized, he can't believe what's going on. Vizeba Vayomer, another messenger comes running in, and he says, you know, Eish Elokim Nafla Min HaShamayim, a heavenly fire, lightning came out of nowhere. Vativar Betzona Benahar Matochlem. And it went, and it burned all of your sheep and all of the shepherds and all the cattle. V'imalta rakani levadi lahagilach. And I am the sole survivor of this traumatic experience. So Iyov is in shock. He can't believe it. Od zemedaber. While this is going on, v'zeba v'yomar. Another messenger comes in and he says, Kazdim samu shlosha rashim. Vayipshitu asagmalim vayikhum vasanaarm hikul lefichar v'imalta rakani levadi lahagidlach. You know, you had a bunch of donkeys, and they were out grazing somewhere and traveling on the road, and they were attacked, and everybody was killed, and I'm the only one who survived. Odzem adaber bezeba vayomar. another messenger shows up and he says, your family was all eating together. They were having this ceremonial party. And a hurricane, a powerful wind, came out of nowhere. And it destroyed the entire house. It collapsed on all of your 10 children, and they all died. And I am the only one who is not killed in that hurricane. And I'm here to tell you what happened. So basically, in the span of 5 minutes, his entire life was destroyed. Everything, all of his money is gone. His children just lost their lives. Everything he knew, everything he had, was gone. Vayakam Iyov. Iyov gets up, vayikras me'ilo. Vayagas esrosho. He tears his clothing. Vayipal arza vayishtachu. Iyov is crushed. He's devastated. He's completely overwhelmed by what he was just told. But listen to this remarkable response. You know, sometimes you hear about sad things, and the response is so important. I get emotional whenever I learn Iyov. You know, I've had so many Camp Simcha kids over the years come and talk about all of their, everything that's swimming around in their heads. And it just brings it out when it's real people. When it's real people who are sharing with you their own lives that were turned upside down. So here we have a story of Iyov who literally lost everything, but you speak to a young child who's diagnosed with cancer. And everything they know to be the reality of their lives is also turned upside down in 1 minute. Once they get the diagnosis, it's like nothing that they ever knew before is going to remain the same. It's real. Vayomer, and Iyov's response is amazing. Arum yatsasi mi betan imi. I came out from the womb with nothing. And the truth is, he says, va'arum ashuv shama. In the end of the day, I'm going to leave this world and have nothing also. Hashem nasan v'hashem lakach yihi shem Hashem evarach. What an unbelievable response. Almost shows like he's impenetrable. You can't shake him. Look what happened. Everything was taken from him, and he's still strong. And he's still the Ishtam v'yarei Elokim. B'chazos lo chata Iyov v'lo nasan tifla le'elokim. Don't misread that. It doesn't say he didn't daven. That would be tefillah. Onasan tifla le'elokim means he did not curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even with all that was going on, he accepted it. Vayhi ayom, and it was the next day. Vayavo b'nei ha'elokim l'siyatzev al Hashem. Once again, all those in the heavenly orbit came together to have a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayavo gam ha'satan v'socham l'siyatzev al Hashem. And the Satan came along as well to stand there and to say what his plan was for the day. Vayomer Hashem al Satan, emi zeh tavo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the Satan and he says, where are you coming from? What are you up to? Vayan ha-Satan al Hashem vayomer, mishot ba'aretz u'mishalech ba. I've come from traveling the world. Vayomer Hashem al Satan, hasamta libcha al avdi Iyov, ki ein kamo ba'aretz. Ish tam v'yasher v'yari alokim v'sar meira v'odenu machzik b'tumaso. Even after everything you did to Iyov yesterday and all the pain that you inflicted upon him, odo machzik b'tumaso, he's still living the noble life. About to see seni bo levalo chinam, and you incited me. You asked me to go and destroy him, but look, you have not been successful in destroying him. Ve'ana saltan al Hashem v'yomar, or ba'ad or v'chalasho le'ish yitin ba'ad nafsho. Ulam shlachna yarcha v'ga el atzmo ve'el besaro. Give me permission. All I did until now was take away everything around him. Now it's painful to lose one's children, and it's painful to lose their property and their house and their lifestyle and everything they have. But in the end of the day, I didn't inflict him with pain. So now give me permission to destroy him personally. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayamar Hashem el Satan, hino biyadcha ach es nafsho shemar. Don't kill him, but go give him a lot of horrific pain, as if you haven't already. Vayetzei Hasatan me'eis b'nei Hashem vayachas Iyo b'shchin ra mikaf raglo v'yad katkado. And the Satan goes out, and he inflicts him with terrible inflammation, with boils, and with infections all over his body. His body is burning. He has a fever, he has infections, he has everything. And he's trying to sit in the dirt to try to cool himself off. He doesn't know what to do, Iyov. Vatomer lo ishto, and Iyov's wife turns to him and says, Odcha machzik betumasecha? Come on. Do you still believe in God? I mean, this is ridiculous. Look what's going on. Kadosh Baruch Hu is destroying you. How can you believe in a God like this? Barech Elokim v'mus. Just curse the Ribbono Shel Olam and let this be over with. Vayomer Eileha. Listen to this. Iyov turns to her and he says, Kidaber achas hanavolos tedaberi? Do you have no shame? You're going to speak like the lowlife speak? Games hatov nekabel me'es Elokim ve'ashara lo nekabel? When life was going well for us, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all the riches in the world, gave us a beautiful family, when he gave us a home to live in, when we had everything a person can ever ask for, we don't say a word. All of a sudden when he comes and he flips the tables and he decides that my fortune should be different, he decides to inflict me with pain, suddenly I'm going to say there's no God in the world. It's not the way it works. If you believe God gave you everything, then you should believe that he also can take it away. And therefore, b'chalzos, l'chata Iyov b'svasa. Now, I left in the next three psukim because this is so important to learn from also. As all of this is happening, by Yishmu Shloshes Rei Iyov es kol hara hazos haba alav. So Iyov has three friends, and they hear about what's going on. Can you believe it? We were in high school with this guy, and we used to have get-togethers every so often in the reunion. You remember our friend Iyov? You know what happened to him? You know, sometimes you hear about such a thing, like, we had an old friend, you know what happened to this person? They lost a parent, they lost a sibling, they lost a child, and you go out of your way, and you're going to be Menachem Avel, and you're going to try. Do you know what happened to our friend Iyov? He lost everything. Vayavo ishmi mekomo alifaz ha-teimani yubeldar ha-shuchi v'tzofar na-amasi vayivadu yachtav lavo lanudlo lenachamo. They all came together, and they said, look, we're all friends, we've been friends for a long time, let's go take a trip down to Iyov to try to comfort him. You ever have that? You see someone and you literally don't recognize them because they're going through such tragedy, such hardship. They all begin to cry. They all rip kriya. Listen to this next pasuk. Vayeshvu ito la'aret shivas yamim v'shivas leilos. They sat with Iyov for 7 days. Ein dover elav davar. They did not say a word. Ki ro ki gadol ha-ke'ev ma'od. You know that it says in Shulchan Aruch, when you go to a shiva home, you're not allowed to begin a conversation. You're supposed to wait for the avel to start the conversation. And people become very awkward sitting in a shiva house waiting for the avel to start the conversation. And I think the point of that is, what's behind it? It's exactly this. Sometimes when a person's in an intense or acute pain, they're not interested in hearing what you have to say. It's not going to comfort them. How many times have you been in a shiva, maybe not so many, and someone has said the silliest comment when you were there, and you want to bury yourself in the ground, like, I can't believe I'm here right now. Like when somebody was killed in a car accident and somebody comes to the shiva house and says, did they run a red? Like, did they not see the stop sign? Yeah, I've been there when such a question was asked. Like, didn't they know, like, you're not allowed to drive over 30, like, there's speed limit? Right? So that's an example. But sometimes people go to a person in pain and they say something that's not just not helpful, but it's so hurtful. It's so painful. And what the Navi teaches us here is, sometimes your job is just to sit there. Shivas yamin v'shivas leilos. Be a supportive friend. What does it mean to be a supportive friend? It doesn't mean you have to give them mussar. And it doesn't mean you have to tell them why it happened or how it happened or this would have been different or that. Your job is just to be there. Your job is to be there. You don't need to say anything. What people need is support. Just keep quiet. If you have nothing good to say, don't say it. And that's what the friends of Eov did in the beginning. As the story went on, the situation became even worse over the duration of an entire year. As if that wasn't enough, at some point, these friends are very conflicted. And the friends say, look, we all believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We also believe that there's this idea of Schar Va'onesh, that the world is fair. And they're pressuring Eov and they say to him, just admit to us, what have you done so bad in your life to deserve all of this? We always expected that you were an upstanding person. That's how we had an image of you. But it's clear that you're not what we thought. If you were that, there's no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do this to you. So they're very conflicted. They have a friend. The friend is suffering. They have a God. And the God doesn't seem to be fair. So you have two conclusions to draw. What are the two options? Option A is either that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is evil, and he's in fact doing something to Eov that he doesn't deserve. Option B is, Eov is not the person who he thought. Either God is not who he thought he was, or Eov's not who he thought he was. So which option would you choose? I would much rather choose, Eov is clearly not the person who he thought he was. And all of our preconceived notions about how great Eov actually seemed to all of us was wrong. Otherwise he wouldn't be getting this, because he doesn't deserve it. So what do the friends do? They completely disassociate from him. They betray him. And now Eo finds himself not only without a family, not only without any of his property, any of his money, no parnasa, but Eo then finds himself completely alone. No friends. And the situation just becomes more and more impossible as everyone in his life turns on him. Now, the end of the story, everything turns around, but it's a very, very complicated story to understand. And when you read and you learn through this painful story, you look back to the story of Avraham Avinu and you ask yourself, in Parshas Vayera, we have the story of Sodom, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy an entire city. And Avraham Avinu stands up and he says, no, you can't do it. Why can't you do it? Ulai yesh hamishim tzadikim esoch ha'ir. Chalila lecha me'asos kadavar hazeh. Lahamis tzadikim rasha. We don't believe that a person is allowed to just cause collateral damage. If somebody deserves a punishment, they should be punished. You don't have a right to take collective punishment. You're not just allowed to go around and destroy everybody just because of somebody who did something wrong. But the claim of Avraham Avinu is, Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are the Dayan HaEmes. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are the one who is so calculated and so careful. Like we say in Parshas HaZinu, El emuna ve'ein avel, tzadik v'yasher, who we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is righteous, and everything he does is called the Racha Mishpat. So Avraham Avinu says, then how can you destroy a whole city? There's no way that everybody in the city deserves to be destroyed. But that's the assumption. That's the assumption that Avraham Avinu is working off of. That kol derech mishpat, that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is justice, and there's a system, and there's a careful calculation as to why it happens. In Parshas B'chukosai, we find the same thing. The Torah says, "Im B'chukosai teilechu, if you're going to do the right thing, then v'nasati gishmecha bi'itam, then you're going to be rewarded, and if not, then you'll be punished." But it seems clear from the psukim, the assumption is that if people are good, they'll have good lives. If they're not good, they're not good. It seems to be a corollary. It seems to work together. And yet you come to these situations and you say, this doesn't add up. How do you explain the story of Eov, who after all, we're told, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, that he was the Ish Tam V'Yashar V'Yirei Elokim. By the Ribbono Shel Olam's own admission, Eov was the consummate Jew, the perfect human being. So let's see. Rav Dessler writes, he articulates something in the Michta Melio. And this is something I think about. I don't know how many of you have thought about the same. But let's see what he says. I just love the way he articulates his innermost feelings. We have major questions in our lives that we're confronted with. Lama ploni zacha l'chaim u'usharim, v'hasheni chayi tzar yichya. Why is it that this person is living a difficult and painful life, and the other one is living a perfect life? Lama ploni hatzadik yizbo yisurim rabim. I'm sure we've seen that there are very seemingly righteous people who have terrible yisurim, v'chayiv k'chayi gehenim, and they're living a life out of hell. Ruploni harasha yu kol yamav k'chagim. And then you have somebody who's living a totally reckless kind of life, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow allows them to have all the pleasures in the world. Yesh Hashem munasim shlema v'ashelus halalu lo yazizim imenu. He said there are some people that just have a munah pshuta. These questions don't bother them. V'asher yedu ki lo lanu levaker es mishpatei Hashem. You know, I'm always inspired when you talk to survivors, and so many of the survivors after the war gave it all up. And do you blame them? Look what they lived through. Look what kind of questions they had to confront. But there are some survivors that you meet who, it's not even a question to them. Not that it all makes sense, but we have emunah. I don't understand how you ever daven another day in your life. I look at these people and I say, after everything you saw and experienced, how do you believe in God? I don't understand it. How could it be? It's so confusing. Well, says Rav Dessler, there are some people who just have an emunah pshuta. And for them, that works. And for them, they don't have these questions. And they say, everything to me is fine. And even when I'm confronted right in front of my face with difficult situations, it's okay. I can still remain a believer. Yesh Hashem munasim shlema. There are some people who have that kind of emuna. Amnam, he says, gam rabim hema. I'm in category number two. Gam rabim hema. There are many people. Asher lo taspik lahem atshuva brura azos. Many people in our generation, you can't just say, well, you know, believe in Hashem and it's all fine. It's all going to work out. What's the problem? That's, for many people, insufficient. If you believe, like the Ramchal began, that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is because He wanted to be meitiv im abruim, He wanted to make wonderful experiences for all of us, then why are you giving such horrible experiences to people? How does this all add up? Yesha Nasher Masher Hashailahan his keras tafrio sam harbe babadasam as Hashem Avodas Halev. There are many people who will be so bothered by this that it will get in the way of their Avodas Hashem. Look at the next paragraph. Yesh, and there are some. Asher Yishalu that will ask. Im Cain, if you're going to say that maybe somebody needed to be punished, then how do you explain Lama Yeshisurim She'enam Onish Klau? What if I showed you a situation where it cannot be a punishment? For example, Misha Nolad Cholel Chodome. You have a child who's born with many, many physical issues, or mental issues, or a compromised health, or whatever it may be. Can the child have possibly sinned to deserve that? Yesh Gam Shemachalasam Yerushalayim Yavoseim. Some have a genetic disorder. Lama Asu Lahem Kacha Min Hashamayim. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that to a child? Why does the child deserve that? So he says, If you're one of those people who lives life with those questions, you should know that there are no good answers. And the Rambam says he read the story of Iyov, and he too had tremendous difficulty. The good news is that you're not alone. And the greats of all the generations felt the same way. So don't feel that if you have such questions that are going through your mind, don't feel that those are improper thoughts. Don't feel that those are offensive or unacceptable thoughts. Think about Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hodieni Nadur Achecha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, I really need to have an understanding how the world works. The Gemara says, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's request? It's the Gemara in Brachos Dav Zayin. Moshe Rabbeinu was asking, Amar lefanav ribono shel olam. Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it? Mipnei ma yesh tzadik v'tov lo v'yesh tzadik v'ralo. Yesh rasha v'tov lo v'yesh rasha v'ralo. Why is it that the righteous suffer and the evil seem to prosper? It just doesn't make sense to me. Moshe Rabbeinu had this question and he was bothered by it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you're not going to understand it. In fact, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response when Moshe Rabbeinu asked this? Anyone know? What? No. What was it? What did he say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds when Moshe Rabbeinu asked this question, V'ra'isa sachorai ufanai lo yiro. What kind of response is that? I just asked you a question to explain to me what's going on in the world. How does all this add up? How does it make sense? And your answer, I'm sorry, Moshe. You can look at me from the backside, but you can't see my face. How is that a response to the question I was asked? So the Chasam Sofer, I believe, writes in one of his drushas that the answer is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, in retrospect, when I show you all of Jewish history, it will make sense to you. V'ra'isa asachorai, when you look at all of it at the end, then you'll look back and say, oh, this all matches up, it all makes sense, and the puzzle is now complete. But ufanai lo yiro, I can't show you in anticipation, or as it's playing out, I cannot explain it to you. It's not the way it works. Somebody once gave a mashal, I forgot who it was, maybe Rav Elia Lapian, I don't know, where he said, imagine you have somebody, anyone here does needlepoint? No? Okay. So when you do I don't know if needlepoint is the right one, but when you do a needlepoint, so you tie it in the back, and you go in and out. So if you look at it from the back, it looks like one big mess. Because you have all these knots all over the place, and strings that are not coordinated properly. Then you turn it around, and you have a beautiful picture. V'ra'isa sachorai ufanei lo yiro means you're looking at the back of that picture, the back of that needle point, and all you see is knots over here and ties up over there, and things are asymmetrical and things are not in the proper place where they belong. But ufanei lo yiro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow us to have that perspective right now. We hope someday to have the opportunity to do so. But as things are right now, we don't have that ability to see. We don't get that perspective. We don't have that vision that we all wish we had. But this is the way Moshe Rabbeinu was left off. He was left with his questions. I remember after my first summer in Camp Simcha, I was so distraught. I'll tell you why. I was distraught for many reasons, but one of the reasons was I started asking myself, do I not have emunah? I started looking around. I'm looking at 150 kids who all have very severe illnesses. So many of them came to talk to me over the experience of the summer, and they're sharing what's going on in their lives. And I'm listening to all this and I'm like, where is the Ribono Shel Olam? How does he let this happen? And I was really having a lot of trouble. So I remember at the time, I called Rav Asher Weiss and I said, is something wrong with me? Like, I don't know what's going on. I spoke to hundreds of kids and I can't handle it. And he said, if you were to look through all the pages of Chumash and ask yourself, who is the greatest Mamin B'Kadosh Baruch Hu in all of Chumash? Who would you say? Don't say Moshe. Right? Because Moshe was the greatest Navi. But I don't think he goes down as the greatest believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had the closest relationship. He was Peh El Peh Adaber. He had the greatest level of Nevuah. But who is the greatest believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Avram Avinu. Look at the Akedah. Right? Look what Avram Avinu was willing to do. So he's the greatest believer. And yet what many of us are not aware of is the Medrash on this week's Parsha, where the Medrash says Avram Avinu goes to the Akedah. But before the Akedah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and he says, you don't have children, but don't worry. Ki b'Yitzchak yikar lechazera. You're going to have a child. Avraham Avinu says, really? How could it be? I'm so old already. Anochi halach hariri. He has this child. They raise the kid. Now he's already an adult. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, bring him up as a karba. Bring him up as a karba. Es malamarta li b'Yitzchak yikar lechazera. He told me he's going to be my future, my project. Then you tell me I should sacrifice him. Then I travel with him. I tie him up on the Mizbeach. I'm ready to go. And then you say, no, take him down. Al tishlach yadcha lanar. Then I come home and you take my wife away. You kill my wife, Sarah. The Medrash says, Hischil Avram Avinu Tameya. Avram Avinu starts asking questions. What is going on here? So Rav Asher Weiss's point from the Medrash was, does that make him a non-believer? No. A believer is allowed to have questions. Adarabba, he said, from the fact that you believe, that's why you have questions. If you didn't believe, you'd say, you know what? The end with God. Obviously, he doesn't exist because I have these questions. From the fact that you're struggling with it, it means you do believe in God. Look at none other than Avraham Avinu, who also had a tremendous sense of emunah, greater than anything we can imagine. And yet, Avraham Avinu also had questions. And things were not so simple and straightforward in his mind either. So that very much is the context that we need to think about when sometimes we're confronted with some of these kinds of questions. The Navi Yirmiyah says the same thing. He turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Tzadik ata Hashem ki arav alecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe in you. That's the foundation. However, Mishpatim adabar oscha. I have, I guess we would say in our parlance, I have a bone to pick with you. Mishpatim adabar oscha. There's something that I'm not comfortable with. I have to talk to you about it. What is it? Let's read on the bottom. Madua. Why is it derech rishon salecha? Shalav kabogdi beged. Why is it that you allow the derech rishon to be successful? Why is that? How do you allow that to go on in the world? V'chahena, v'chahena, v'chahena. And you find this over and over again in the Nevi'im, as you'll see over here on the side. The Nabi Habakkuk and in Tehillim, David HaMelech says it, Nabi Malachi, they all say the same thing, that there are many, many, many instances where people have serious doubt and don't really understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'll just end with the mashal of the Chafetz Chaim. The mashal goes as follows. The Chafetz Chaim tells a story of a businessman who was traveling, and he gets stuck in a community for Shabbos, and he doesn't know exactly what to do. He comes to the shul, and people invite him over for the meal. Then the next day, he shows up to shul, and he watches what's going on, and after davening is over, the gabbai walks up to him, and he says, Nu, how do you enjoy it? He says, it was great. I just have one question. He says, okay, what's your question? Let me hear. So he tells him, you know, I noticed when it came time for Kriyas HaTorah, you're the gabbai. It's very strange how you do this. You go all the way to the back row, four seats in, you give an aliyah to that person. Then the next aliyah, you run all the way to the front row on the right side, then you run to the back, to the left side here, up and down, middle. Why? Why don't you just have a system? I have a suggestion. The first week, why don't you give the first seven aliyahs to the people sitting in the front row? Then you write it down somewhere. The next week, you'll start where you ended off. And over time, you go around the shul, everybody will have a chance, but just do it in a systematic way. Doesn't that make more sense? And the gabbai turns back to me and says, a very nice suggestion. I'm just curious, how long have you lived here? He says, it's my first time here. First time here, you think you're going to understand the system? This one has yahrzeit, and that one is celebrating a sheva brachas for his child. And this one is making a bar mitzvah this week, and that one is celebrating his anniversary. And this one has something special going on. We have a calculation for everything. Stick around 3-4 years, you'll start to get the flavor of how we do things and why we do it the way we do. And said the Chafetz Chaim, after he thought of this story, he began to think about our experience here on this earth. We turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, in our limited capacity of what we can see and experience, it doesn't make sense. Why don't we streamline the process? Why is it that we have families that are doing very well and everything's fine and they have great shalom bayis and they have enough money and they're living okay? All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes everything and flips it on its head. Why don't you keep the poor people poor and the rich people rich? They already figured out how to be poor. It's working. It's fine. Why do we need this kind of haphazard way of life where nobody knows what's coming, where no one knows what to expect? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to us and he says, it's a great idea, but how long have you been here? Stick around for a few thousand years and I'll begin to explain to you the rhythm of how everything works and why we do things the way we do. Sometimes what we need is a perspective in retrospect. But to have the opportunity to see it as things are playing out is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give us the chance to have or experience. And that is why so often we live through a very confusing kind of understanding and conflicting feelings, where we believe in our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and of course we do the mitzvahs and we do what we're supposed to, but it's very, very difficult and it's complicated, and we see things going on where you would ask the same question as Avraham Avinu asked, Chalila lecha, ha-shofet kal ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not have a rhyme or reason for the way He does things? Is this all haphazard? Does that make sense? But it's important as we read the story of the Nisyonos, as we read the story of Avraham Avinu's life, and we look at it and we ask ourselves, what happened here? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow this to happen? Maybe it's an opportunity for us to think about what our emunah is all about as well. Do these things rattle us as we grow older and as we become more mature? And as we experience life more, we are going to be confronted with situations. Yihi ratzon, it should never be with any of us. But we are going to see in our lives that things happen that we would never imagine, that we would never expect. And we see people going through such painful and difficult experiences. And sometimes we're confronted with that very directly. And we don't know exactly what to think. Just believe and understand, you're not the only one that's ever had such questions. If you have emunah pshuta, that works for some people. If you're not the kind of person that emunah pshuta works for, and you're struggling with where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of this and how can it be, I don't have an answer for you, but I can say that every great Jewish person has struggled with the same thing, including Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu and Chavakuk HaNavi and Yirmiyah HaNavi and Malachi and David HaMelech and everybody else in between and since. So you're not alone. And it's important to take the opportunity to realize what exactly